Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now today what we want to talk to you about is a subject called predestination. In one of our Bible studies before this one, we talked a little bit about it, but I want to get into some detail with you on the subject of predestination. First of all, what is it? The subject of predestination is a teaching that God picks some people to go to heaven. Okay, or picks people to have eternal life. And so, but it leaves a lot of things making you wonder about some things. All right, anyway, in Ephesians chapter 1, I want to show you where they get it from. Well, first of all, let me give you a little story. Back when I first got saved and the Lord called me into teaching, they had somebody invited me to their home. And so I went over to their home, and they started telling me about predestination, about how God picks some people, but He doesn't pick the other ones, all right? And I didn't know much about it, so I left the guy's house wondering, you know, about this subject. So what we have is prayed about it, and the Lord gave me an understanding of what's going on. Now watch. I want you to go to Ephesians, and I'm going to show you where they get it from. Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now, I want you to notice in verse 5 here, it says, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." So what we have here is a lot of people take this word predestination and say, oh, well, God has already predetermined that we're going to have eternal life. And so what they say is, so God has determined ahead of time, people that are going to have eternal life and people that are going to have eternal damnation. Now watch. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to notice in verse 11. Back up to verse 10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So what we have here is, once again, we have the word predestinated. And so what happens is, a lot of people take this and they say, oh, well, I was predestinated before the foundation of the world. God picked me and God chose me to have eternal life. And that's how the teaching goes, people. God picked these people to have eternal life. But there's a problem with this, okay? Because, I tell you what, let's look up on the screen here. Let me show you. I'm going to put on the screen, I'm going to show you 10 people, okay? We're going to put some in green. And these are the people. Let's put five of them in green. And these are the people that God picked. Let's just say this predestination thing, this is how it works. God picks this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one, okay? So we've got five people that God has picked to have eternal life. Now, notice you have the ones left in red. And these, or guess what? If God didn't pick them to have eternal life, that means He picked them to have eternal damnation. Okay? Now, watch. Let's just turn it around. Let's say God predestinated some to have eternal damnation. So what we could have is God picking the five red ones. Say, look, okay, you're going to go to hell, 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 and you're going to go to hell. All right? And then that would leave the rest of them, meant God picked them to go have eternal life. So what we have here is a situation is, if God picks some to have eternal life, that means He picks the rest of them to have eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. So what we have here is, we have a situation where people are saying God picked some to have eternal life, but they don't realize when they say that, they are saying God picked the other people to have eternal damnation. Now, suppose that you were one of the ones that God did not pick to have eternal life. Even though you want to have eternal life, God says, no, I'm not picking you. Okay? Now, wouldn't that make you feel a little bad? Wouldn't that make you feel funny? Saying, well, I really don't want to go to hell, Lord. I really don't want to burn in the lake of fire. All right, I would really like to have eternal life, but God says, oh, sorry, but I didn't pick you. All right, you see my point here. Now watch, let's go to the scripture. All right, I want you to go to First Timothy. In First Timothy, all right, First Timothy chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Now, question. Is it God's will to have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Yes, it is. Okay? Well, let me ask you a question. If God is out there picking which ones He wants to go to heaven, and that means He's picking the ones He wants to go to hell, okay? How can God's will be for all men to have eternal life if He's picking them to go to hell? All right? Now, you got to understand, there's a teaching out there. This is what it declares, that God picks some to have eternal life. Now, watch. Now, I want you to go to, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. All right? Question. Is God willing that any should perish? No, He isn't. Okay? But that all should come to repentance. Does God want all men to come to repentance? Yes, He does. Well, how can He do that if He's picking some to go to heaven and He's picking some to go to hell? Okay? Now, the thing is, this teaching about predestination, there is a predestination which we'll talk about, but predestination unto eternal life is not what the Bible is talking about in Ephesians, okay? So what we have here is a teaching that tells us in the Scriptures that God is not willing for anyone to perish, but yet He would have all men to come unto repentance. All right, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 1, it says, in verse 5, it says, Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, does it say anything about being predestinated unto eternal life? Does it? No. What does it say? It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Okay? Notice in verse 11 again. In whom we have also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So what we have here is, we do have a predestination in the Holy Scriptures, but it's not talking about eternal life. I'll show you that in just a moment. Now watch. Let's go back to the scenario where God is picking some to have eternal life, which means He's picking the rest of them to have eternal damnation. Now think about it. If God didn't pick you to have eternal life, that means He picked you to have eternal damnation. Or if God didn't pick you to have eternal damnation, that means He picked you to have eternal life. Okay? It works both ways. Now watch. Let's go to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, I want you to notice, 1 Timothy, I want you to notice in chapter 5. All right, let's go to verse 21. All right, now Paul's telling Timothy, and he tells him, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. All right, so what we have here is Paul tells Timothy, you do these things, but you don't prefer one person above another, okay? You don't do anything by doing it with partiality. Partiality is favoritism. It's showing more favor to one person than you are to another, okay? That's given to partiality. Bible says we shouldn't do that, all right? A lot of people, they do have favorites, but people that are in the ministry, we just don't have that liberty to have favoritism toward one or the other, okay? The Bible tells us not to be given to partiality. Now watch. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, Paul's telling us about how God dealt with man in time past, and that their salvation was based upon whether they were good or not. Notice in verse 6, Romans chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "...who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." Now I want you to notice, this. Paul's talking about time past, how God did it in time past. But watch verse 11, it says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." All right? Question, does God have a respect of persons? Does God show favoritism or have partiality toward people? No, he does not. The Bible says right here, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, all right, notice in verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God and mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." Now, does the Lord regard persons? No. The Lord doesn't have respect of persons. He's not given the partiality. He says there is no respect of persons with God. Now, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 6. He says, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." Notice in the middle of verse there it says, God accepteth no man's person. Does God show respect to one or the other? No, he doesn't. There is no respect of persons with God. I want you to go to Colossians. All right. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Okay? Question, does God respect persons? Now, what I'm trying to show you here is, over and over and over in the Holy Scriptures, you're going to find, there's several more places you can find this, okay? God does not have a respect of persons. God does not show partiality, okay? God does not show favoritism, all right? So, but the teaching goes that God predestinated some to eternal life, which means he predestinated the rest of them to eternal damnation. Now, is that given to partiality? Yes, it is. Is that showing a respect of persons? Yes, it is. Especially when the Holy Scriptures tell us that it's in God's will for every man to be saved, all right, and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And it is not God's will for anyone to perish, but that they might all come to repentance, okay? So what we have here is we have a teaching out there that is incorrect, okay? There is a predestination. We're going to show you what it is in just a moment. But the teaching that God predestinates some to have eternal life, okay, that is an incorrect teaching. Okay? Because God wants all men to have eternal life. Not just picking this one, picking that one, picking this one. Okay? God wants them all to have eternal life. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you trust Christ as your Savior, you'll be one of them. Now watch. I want you to go to, let's go back to Ephesians. Okay. Y'all asking me, say, well, Brother Jerry, we saw where it says in there, you're predestinated. What does that mean? All right, well, let's go back to it. Ephesians chapter 1, notice in verse 5 it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So what it says here is, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now let's go to the book of Galatians. Now watch. I'm going to read you some scripture. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. You know, one time I went to went out of state teaching a Bible study, and it was me and my wife, and we went to this class, and before I started going on this class and getting into the scriptures, I asked the people, I said, how many of you in here are the adopted sons of God? Please raise your hand. And everybody in the room raised their hand except for my wife and me, okay? But everybody else had raised their hand saying they were the adopted sons of God. And I looked at them and I told them, I said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm here to tell you that you are not the adopted sons of God. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I'm not the adopted son of God. I said, you are not the adopted son of God. And they was about to run me out of the room. I said, wait, give me time here and let me show you what the scripture says. Now watch. All right. In Galatians chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. People looked at me and said, well, it says right here, look, we've received the adoption of sons. And it says because, he says that we might receive the adoption of sons. It says because you are sons. And they say, well, we are the adopted sons of God. I said, no, you're not. I said, you cannot be the adopted sons of God. Let me show you why. And let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, I want you to notice, let's start in verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? People say, okay, you see, we are the sons of God. Okay? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And people kept telling me, you see, we are the adopted sons of God. I said, no, you're not. I said, let's go on. Watch. All right. Notice in verse 16. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now watch verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. All right, question. what is the adoption? Well, it tells us right here, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay? The redemption of our body takes place at the rapture, people. The rapture is the adoption. The adoption is the rapture. Okay? That is when the adoption takes place. Now let's read this one more time, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Question, was the Apostle Paul waiting for the adoption? Yes, he was. Is he still waiting for the adoption? Yes, he is. Paul has not had the redemption of his body yet. That does not take place until the rapture, people. And when the rapture takes place, that's when our vile body shall be changed in fashion like unto his glorious body, and that is the adoption. Now watch, let's go on. Go to Colossians. I'm sorry, go to Philippians. All right, Philippians chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Okay? This takes place when our bodies are going to be changed, which takes place at the rapture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to notice in verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So what we have here, Paul's telling us about when our bodies are going to be changed, okay? He tells us in Philippians about when our bodies are going to be changed. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians about when our bodies are going to be changed. He tells us in the book of Romans when our bodies are going to be changed. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, okay? All right, now let's go on chapter 8. Notice again in verse 14, okay? Chapter 8, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." What have we received? We have received the spirit, we have received the spirit of adoption. We haven't received the adoption of sons yet, people. It hasn't happened yet. The adoption hasn't taken place. Now watch, verse 16. "The Spirit itself witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest..." Now watch verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." People, that hasn't taken place yet. Okay? You're still in your corruptible bodies. Okay? You haven't been fashioned like unto his glorious body. All right? Now watch. Let's go on. Verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Now, people, you can say you're the adopted sons of God if you want to, okay? I am still waiting for the adoption, all right? It has not taken place yet. I have received the spirit of adoption, and guess what? When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I became predestinated unto the adoption of sons, okay? The adoption has not taken place yet, but when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You become predestinated. Why? Because the church, the body of Christ, the church that you belong to when you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, all right, the church, the body of Christ is predestinated to the adoption of sons. Now watch. Let's go to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 again. Now watch. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Who is the us? Okay? It's the church, the body of Christ. Okay? He chose the church, the body of Christ before the foundation of the world. He said the church, the body of Christ, it's a very unique body. All right? And I'm going to take those people that have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior and they become part of the church, the body of Christ. I'm going to take them and I'm going to fashion their bodies like unto His glorious body one day. All right? And He calls it the adoption. All right? Now watch. Verse 4 again, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Okay? When does the adoption of children take place? It takes place at the rapture. That is the adoption. That is the redemption of our bodies, people. Okay? Now watch. Verse 5 again, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now watch verse 14, talking about that Holy Spirit of promise, okay? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Well, what is that purchased possession, people? Well, it's you. It's your body, okay? Your body's going to be redeemed one day. But what you have right now, you have received the earnest of the inheritance, which is the Holy Spirit, okay? We have received the Spirit of adoption. Okay? It is the down payment, it is the deposit that God has given to us to prove to us that we will be adopted one day. All right, let me give you this scenario. Okay? They have a man, he goes up to an orphanage home. All right? He sees a little boy in that orphanage home, and he tells that little boy, he says, "Would you like to be my son? Because I would like to be your dad." And the little boy goes, "Yeah, I would." So, the man says, "Okay, get all the paperwork ready. I'm leaving here, and when I come back, you know, you're going to be my son. I'm going to adopt you." So the little boy gets all excited. The man signs the paperwork and everything. All right, and so the man leaves, and the little boy packs his bags and everything, and he sits out there and sits on the bench, and he's waiting for his dad to come get him. He's all excited. He's going to finally have a dad, okay? Well, what happens is, let's say the man never comes back, okay? Now, the man signed the papers and everything, but he never comes back to get the little boy. Was the little boy adopted? No. Okay? But the paperwork was signed. All right? See, God Almighty has given us the spirit of adoption. In other words, all the paperwork's been done, people. All right? God has signed it. He says, I'm going to adopt you one day. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. You are predestinated unto the adoption of children. Okay? It's going to take place. All right? So God has given us a promise here. Now watch. Verse 13 again. In whom ye are also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? We have a promise. We will be adopted one day. Verse 14, which is the earnest. It's the deposit, people. It's the down payment that God has given. All right? It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption that He's given us, all right? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. And it hasn't taken place yet, people. The adoption is at the rapture, or the adoption is the rapture, and it will take place at the end of the dispensation of grace. Now watch. Let's go to back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, In Romans chapter 8, I want you to notice in verse 27. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 27, it says, I tell you what, let's back up to verse 24. Let's back up to verse 24. We just talked about, in verse 23, it talks about the adoption, to wit, the redemption of his body. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, people, I, with hope, am waiting for the rapture. I'm waiting for the adoption, okay? I know it's going to take place one day. Now, watch verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. So we know not that what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now notice it says here, he did predestinate them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, does this body look like it's been conformed to the image of his Son? No way, people. I'm looking forward to a better body, okay? One that's going to be fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body, okay? So what it's saying here is, those which he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, now that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now watch verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, let's look at it this way. The teaching of predestination says, well, God predestinated this person, okay, before the foundation of the world, that he was going to save this person, okay? Now, it says here, those whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And those that he called, he also justified. And those that he justified, he also glorified. All right, now here's the situation. Let's just say you have Blow Joe out on the street, okay? And let's say God picked that person, all right? Now, God picked that person, okay? God, people say, okay, well, he predestinated him. Well, he also called him. He justified him, and he also glorified him. All right, well, according to the teaching, the man is already justified, all right? Now, why do I need to go share Christ with someone that's already justified? Think about it, people. If God's going to send these people to heaven because he's already picked them, he's going to send these people to hell because he's already picked them, why do I need to go out there and share Christ with people? Okay? Why should I go try to tell people that they're lost and that they need a Savior and they need to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior if they're already justified? And if they're not picked, then ain't a thing I can do about it anyway. Okay? They're going to hell because God says, I don't want you. I want these. Okay? I don't want you. You're going to hell. Well, why should I waste my time trying to share Christ with somebody that's going to hell regardless of the situation? Okay? Does that make sense to you? Because it don't make a bit of sense to me. All right? God says, I want all men to be saved. All men to be saved. And he says out there, he's not willing that any should perish. Now watch. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Notice what it says in verse 9. All right? Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess. All right? Notice that word if. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay? It says, that if. Well, what if you don't? Okay? It says, if you do, all right? If you do, you shall be saved. But what if you don't? You won't be saved. That's very clear. Okay? All right, so what we have here is we have Scripture telling us, and this word if gives us a little variable there. If you do, you'll be saved. If you don't, you won't be saved. Okay? So God gives you an option. All right? There's an option for you people. If you're out there and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me encourage you to do so. Notice in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're out there and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please trust Him today. And guess what? When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be predestinated unto the adoption of sons, and you will be taken out in the rapture. All right? At the adoption, you will receive a new body. All right? That is the redemption of our bodies, and you'll be predestinated, because when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become part of the you become a member of the body of Christ, which is already predestinated unto the adoption of children. So when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become predestinated, people. It's not talking about God predestinated some to eternal life and some to eternal damnation, okay? God has chosen the church, the body of Christ, and predestinated the church, the body of Christ, to be unto the adoption of children, okay? And if you choose the Lord Jesus Christ, you get put into the body of Christ, and therefore you become predestinated. Now the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.